Hello, everybody. I hope you're doing okay today. And welcome. I'm happy to be here with you. We've got a really highly interactive call today. I always love this call. It's journaling as a coaching tool. I'm going to do a little bit of teaching, but then we're going to be doing a lot of brainstorming and activating creativity and just really practicing all of the skills that we've learned in this whole program. And you'll see what I mean when we get there. Before we get there, a couple of housekeeping pieces that I wanted to share with you. First of all, a number of you have reached out to me privately saying that you are looking for more partner coaching hours. If that's the case, and you're looking for more partner coaching hours, there's still a ton of possibility to find people to practice with, because I know a lot of people in the group right now are looking for partners or to try out someone different than the person they've been working with, you know, just for a variety, like for all the different reasons. So don't be shy. Post in the Facebook group. Connect with people. I know some of you have been doing that. But there are plenty of opportunities available to you if you want to get more practice in. So please just, you know, you've got the Facebook group is open for like another 4 or 5 weeks. So use it to get your needs met. And you really use it to get all of your needs met. So not just around coaching partner calls, but anything that you need from me before we wrap up. You know that I'm always here and always available, and love questions that you post. You know, I'm here for whatever type of support you need. So sometimes when we get to the end, and this year has been so bizarre with the pandemic and, you know, like all the things, always in a 10-month program, people are up and down in terms of a little more in, a little more out, you know, but particularly this year, it's been challenging, right, on a number of different levels. But sometimes we get towards the end of a program or a training, and we've like decided that it's done before it's actually done, and sometimes the end can count the most, you know. So get your needs met in any ways that feel right to you. You know I'm always here. We've got a couple of calls left. We've got our journaling as a coaching tool. It's really journaling as a transformational tool, I would call it, today. And then next week we have a practicum. And then the week after that is our final session. It's 2 sessions in 1. It's going to be a marathon. It's 3 hours. And I highly recommend, I mean, for all, the rest of the calls of the program, if you can make it live, please make it live. Our last call is also going to be, next week's call will be highly interactive because it's a practicum, and then our last call is also going to be highly interactive. We're going to be looking at ritual as a transformational tool and how you can use it in your coaching practice. And then I'm going to take you step by step through the next steps process that I take my one-on-one clients when they come to the end of a coaching cycle with me and it's time to renew. This process that I'll be sharing with you, if a client is meant to continue with you, it's basically a surefire way for them to renew. And so I'm going to be taking you step by step through it. The nice thing about it is, you know, is we always do our own work. As I kind of teach these techniques and strategies and tools to you, it's a beautiful way to integrate everything that we've done together in sacred depths. And so I hope that you'll join live for that call. Okay. All that being said, let's jump in. So we're looking at journaling today, as you know, and journaling is, in my opinion, from what I've seen, a highly, highly effective tool for coaching and transformation if used in the right ways, and we're going to be talking about that today. I wait till the end of Sacred Depths to look at journaling, because journaling really brings together so many of the transformational tools that we've looked at from the beginning in this training. It can be an advanced skill to use journaling effectively because it really does require knowledge of everything that we've explored so far. You're not going to find journaling as a coaching tool or transformational tool in nearly any other kind of practitioner training program. I think it's a tool that is underutilized, but is so powerful and can do so much. And I'll just share with you that journaling has played a massive role in my own personal life and in my business. I have always been a journaler. I think I got my first journal. I was a diary back then. I got my first diary. I think when I was about 6 or 7 years old, when I first learned how to write and I even knew what a diary was. And I've kept consistent journals all of those years, you know, almost, I'm going to be 45 in next month. So, you know, almost 40 years I've been keeping journals pretty consistently. I've kept them all. And I've used journaling. It's morphed through the years. It started off as a dear diary kind of thing, and it's shifted a lot since then. I use it, and we'll look at some of the ways that I use it today. But it is, and I am not overstating this when I say this. It is one of the things. It has been one of the most powerful for me healing modalities in my life, especially when used consistently. It has supported me in personal development, you know, on steroids. Like, it has supported me through grief and anger and overwhelm and confusion and lack of self-love and dreaming bigger and achieving my goals and deepening my relationships with others. I do not underestimate the power of this tool. It is a very personal tool, and it is a very powerful one, and it's one that you can employ in your group work or in your one-on-one work. We're going to look today specifically at how to employ it in your one-on-one work with clients. For those of you that have been through Into the Depths, the facilitation training, you know that we specifically look at journaling when it comes to groups there. Today we're going to look at it as it relates to one-on-one. And, of course, you know we've used journaling throughout this entire training. So it is different when you use it in groups versus one-on-one. And one of the differences is that when you're using journaling in one-on-one, you're not going to use it very often during session time with your one-on-one clients. In groups, you will, right? And you've seen me model that throughout this training. But one-on-one, every now and again, you'll use it in session time, and I'll share with you in a moment when to do that. But really, the main purpose is as homework and follow-up. So let's just break that down for a moment. Really, the only time that you want to use journaling during a one-on-one session in the actual session time is if you can use it as a pattern interrupt, like if the client needs an interruption to a pattern that they're in, or if a client is having trouble clearing their head. They have too many things on their mind and they need to kind of download it out of their mind onto a piece of paper. So when I say pattern interrupt, what I mean is there are going to be certain times in sessions with clients where your client will need to, for example, you know, they've been thinking outwardly a lot. So you've been talking a lot about outer strategy, and you sense that they're not going to easily flow into looking at inner pieces. They need a pattern interrupt from looking outward to looking inward. Or maybe they've been in their heart for much of the session, and they need a little bit of a pattern interrupt to move a bit more into their head, or vice versa, head to heart. So those are times when a journaling exercise in the session can be useful. Again, that's not going to be your main go-to for even for pattern interrupt. We've looked at other ways to do this, right? Like visualization, meditation, breathing, you know, but it can also be done with journaling. So, you know, just as an example, if you're in the situation where a client has so many things in their head and it's creating overwhelm, and you can see that like a pattern interrupt is needed, you know, just to do a quick journaling exercise, like, okay, just take a moment and write down all of the things that you want to accomplish. Just get it onto the paper, right? This is a way of moving out of the overwhelm, the fear, that kind of thing. Or if someone has been very outward or in their head, and you want to move them into their heart, as we've spoken about before, you can do this through visualization, putting a hand on their heart, certain questions to ask. But if your client is maybe not good with visualization or closing their eyes or, you know, something like that, you would always ask, you know, connect into your heart, but you can also have them write from their heart for a minute, right? To just pattern interrupt. So again, those are that, you know, the journaling in the session isn't going to happen very often. I would say one out of every, you know, 40 or 50, let's say, of my sessions, I'll have somebody do a little bit of journaling in the session. The main place where journaling can be such a valuable tool is to use it as homework. And when you use journaling as a homework strategy, it can help your client go deeper on certain topics that you discussed in the session. It can help your client reinforcement and practice of new learnings, right? And I want to be clear, reinforcement and practice is a little bit different than going deeper. They're related, but they're different. It can be hold a great purpose to support pieces that you didn't have time to get to in the session, but that are timely for the client. You can use journaling in that situation, homework journaling. It can be really useful for pieces that you maybe got to in the session, but they're not yet fully baked in or integrated in. They need more processing because, I mean, everything needs processing and integration to a certain extent, but there are certain issues for clients, and it's going to be different for each client. Always coach the what based on the who, right? There are going to be certain issues that even the revelatory process around that issue is a process. It's not all going to happen. You can ask the best questions in a 45-minute session, but it's almost like a time lapse thing. They can only see so much. And then if they have homework in a container, you know, for journaling around it, for looking at it beyond the session, they're going to get more and more and more. Of course, you'll follow up in subsequent sessions as well. And the other time when journaling can be really useful and really powerful is every now and again, there are going to be certain issues that are very, very personal to a client, and it may be more appropriate for your client to explore those issues in private first, right? In the container, right, that you help create for them with the journaling and accountability, whatever it is. But every now and again, there's going to be something that actually is more appropriate and will be more powerful and productive for the client to explore in private first. And again, that's going to vary client to client, right, based on who they are and all the things. So those are all of the purposes of using journaling as a homework tool for transformation. And there are very few rules when it comes to journaling. This is a place where you as the practitioner can get really creative and also get creative with your client, you know, like co-create what the homework is going to be. So, of course, the journaling can take the form of answering questions, right? Asking some breakthrough questions that the client then journals on, but that's just one aspect. Like I said, you can get so creative. It can be dialoguing. It can be drawing. It can be list making. It can be mind mapping. It can be diagram making, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Collaging, right? Like there's so many, you know, I'm using journaling loosely here. So there are very few rules. It can be as simple as answering questions, but you can get really creative. But there are a few rules. So let me tell you what they are, or in my opinion, there are a few rules here, and here's what I think they are. So number one, the journaling shouldn't take up too much time, right? No homework should. Because if you give someone an assignment and it takes up a lot of time, it's going to feel overwhelming and they're not going to get to it. And then they're going to perceive it as a failure, right? And on it goes. So make it easy. Don't burden a client with too much or too long or too detailed or anything like that. That being said, you don't want it to just take 2 minutes either, like make this quick list. You want it to be something that the client can put their heart and their soul and their focus into so that they really get something out of it. So, and for each client, how much time that takes up is going to be different, right? Like there are some clients I have that I know I'm never going to give them more than 15 minutes worth of homework. And when I say homework, I mean along the lines that we're talking about, not action steps, right? usually for me, it's like action steps in their business, right? So, but you know, there's some clients in terms of like homework, not action steps, that I know I'm never going to give them more than 15 minutes because they're not going to do any more than that. And then there are others that an hour is appropriate, you know, over a week's time or 2 weeks' time, whatever it is. So know your client, know what's appropriate for them. Another kind of rule, or I should say guideline, really, to make journaling homework effective is to ask the client to carve out quiet time and space for themselves. If they haven't carved out the time, our lives are so busy, you know, back to our time module, they're not going to get to it. So I oftentimes will actually ask a client, like, when can you do this? Can you schedule this in? And the quiet, it's not just about the scheduling it in, but it's about the focus, right? So quiet time and space. So what I mean by that is make yourself a cup of tea, move away from the computer. Don't let that be a distraction. For me, I journal away from my desk completely. I'm preferably not even in my office because the computer is like always looming. I wonder what's happening there, right? There's a party happening in my computer with email and social media. Like I like to get out of my room. I go to another room. I oftentimes like sit on the floor of my bedroom, have a cup of tea, you know, whatever it is, right? But to just have some quiet, sacred time. To really let whatever wants to come through from their soul come through. No matter what homework, what journaling assignment you give them, and we'll look at lots of different types in a few minutes, another guideline that really makes a big difference in the quality of the work and in the quality of the integration is when they're done with the journaling, to ask them to read over what they wrote, to read it over, and then list out takeaways. So sometimes we can do like a really powerful piece of writing, journaling that almost feels channeled or from like the deepest parts of ourselves. And the process of writing it itself is very important and very vital and very powerful, but you want to follow up. So what helps then integrate what was channeled or, you know, uncovered or, you know, all the things is to then, and it doesn't have to be right away, it could be right away, but it could be the next day, to read over what you've written and list out takeaways or underline certain things, like to really see in mind what's there. Another thing that I recommend is, you know, time in sessions is so precious, and there's, you know, most of the time there's a lot that your client is going to want to look at with you, you know, and depending on what you're helping them with, of course, but if you can devote from journaling some kind of follow-up time together after they've done the homework. So that can either be in your next session itself to devote some time to it, or like for me with my clients, more realistically, it's usually over email. So I always ask them, like, let me know after you've done this what comes through. I want to hear your takeaways. All of that. I ask them not to share what they've actually journaled, like the actual words, unless they really, really want to, because sometimes that can be burdensome to read through all of it. You know, usually ask to share their takeaways, but sometimes they'll share all the journaling. And again, the journaling, their own journaling review, as well as the review with you, whether it's over email or on a session, really helps to process and work through what's been written. But also, it supports the client when they share it with you in being seen and heard in their revelations. And as we've looked at throughout Sacred Depths, it's so important for clients to be seen and heard and witnessed. One of the many roles and responsibilities that I see coaches or transformational practitioners is as a sacred witness to our clients. So again, the follow-up, in my opinion and from what I've seen, the follow-up, the solo follow-up, you know, with themselves, to read through and list out takeaways, and then the follow-up with you is a big part of the process. When I was in high school, I may have shared this before, I can't remember, but I'll share it quickly. When I was in high school, I took tennis lessons. I decided that I wanted to be a tennis player, even though I'm like, my athleticism is at, like, level zero. But anyway, I took some tennis lessons one summer in high school, and even though I was terrible at it, one of the things that has always stuck with me, that felt profound, even at a young age to me, metaphorically, is that, you know, the instructor taught, is that when you're playing tennis, in order to get the ball to where you want it to go, it's not only about the impact that your tennis racket makes with the ball. That's important. You want to make the correct impact. But it's also just as vitally important, even if not more important, is the follow-up. Of, like, you, the ball makes contact with the racket, and then what is your arm doing after that point of contact? Because what your arm does and how you follow through and up on the swing makes all of the difference in terms of where the ball goes, how fast, how it's spinning, you know, all the things, right? I find that to be a potent metaphor for follow-up in general, right? So, you know, some of you, if you've listened to some of the business bonuses, you know I talk about the importance of follow-up when we're marketing, when we're doing outreach, when we're networking, you know, all of the things. And so, too, in this case, with journaling and writing. Now, if you are someone who doesn't in particular love to journal, like to do write, there's a pretty good chance that your ideal client may not really love that either. If that's the case, you're going to want to, don't just abandon this tool and this strategy, but think about ways around the actual writing, right? So like I said earlier, drawing, mind mapping, list making, diagram making. Even with those, by the way, you want to do the follow-up, like have the client read through or look over, you know, analyze, assess the drawing that they've made, and then list out what they see or takeaways. Okay. So those are the general guidelines. And there are two, I'm kind of dividing journaling into two categories. So the first category, when you want to think about giving journaling homework, is we can call it like more general journaling practices. So what I mean by this category, so the general journaling practices, is it's less about, the homework is less about a targeted breakthrough questions or you know, your self-obsessed one came up in the session today. So dialogue from that place, or, you know, it's less about like a specific instance or like a one-time, that's a better way to say it, like a one-time journaling homework. The general journaling practices are longer term. They're about, it's like doing the same kind of practice consistently, that same kind of inner work consistently on their own over a period of time. It really is a practice as opposed to a specific instance. You wouldn't give a practice, and I'll give you some examples of practices in a moment, necessarily to every client. This would be reserved really for those clients who have the space and the desire and the willingness to do longer term consistent inner work on their own within the container of your work together. And not everybody's up for that, right? Some people are really going to be more up for showing up for sessions and then here and there doing some spot homework in between. We'll get to that in a moment. So the purpose, if you're going to give someone one of these journaling practices, the purpose is really to support the client to connect with themselves, their inner wisdom or spirit or heart. These are exercises that work best when done consistently and when done longer term. When I say longer term, at least a week, but honestly, like months or a month at least. So here are some examples. And some of you, I'm sure, are already using some of these for yourselves and with your clients. A good example of a journaling practice for those of you that have read The Artist's Way by Margaret Julia Cameron is morning pages, right? Every morning to just spend 10 minutes writing what's there and what's present for you. That's an example of a journaling practice. It helps to kind of empty the mind. It helps to connect with self. It helps to connect with spirit. I was never able to really get into morning pages. It never resonated for me. But a similar practice that I made up that does resonate for me, I don't necessarily do it in the mornings, but when I can, and I haven't done this one in a while, but I've used it in different periods throughout my life, is to start with the I am, right? Because sometimes I need to locate myself. Like I don't even know where I am. What am I feeling? What's bothering me? What's exciting me? I don't know. So I start with the prompt I am, and then I just write as fast as I can for at least a couple of minutes, and I just see what wants to come through, right? What just wants to come through from I am. Oftentimes when you're doing a practice like this, where it's about locating yourself or just understanding what's there, you know, what's under the surface, what you're even feeling or anything like that, It's good to have some guidelines for that kind of journaling. The type of guidelines that I like to use for that kind of journaling are to write as fast as you can without really thinking about what you're writing. Just whatever wants to come through, let it come through. Don't edit. Don't worry about language or grammar. And then keep on writing for X minutes, whatever it is, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, that kind of thing. Another type of that falls into this category of a journaling practice would be daily gratitudes or daily appreciations or daily celebrations. I go through periods where I'll do all of them. So I'd like to have at least three or four things that I'm grateful for from the day, at least three or four things that I really appreciated about the day. It's kind of similar to gratitude, but in my mind, gratitude and appreciation are a little bit different. And then three or four things that I want to celebrate, that, you know, that I feel like I really had a hand in and I want to own and honor and celebrate from the day, inner or outer, you know, all the things. And this kind of practice is great for someone who is either having trouble celebrating themselves, owning their accomplishments, you know, feeling good about what they're doing, or someone who has trouble taking in the beauty of their life, the goodness of their life, the resources that they have in their life. It can be used for a client who wants to connect in more with just the magic of being alive, you know, particularly the gratitudes and the appreciations. Once you start doing them, you really see like the just the magic, you know, and all of the gifts. Another example of a journaling practice, again, something that's done consistently, right, not just once. And by the way, for some people, consistently is going to be every day. But for other people, consistently is going to be a couple times a week, right, or once a week. I mentioned this on our last call, but, you know, letters from spirit or God or inner wisdom, you know, channeling that on a consistent basis can help so much with self-love, self-confidence, consistently accessing inner wisdom, all of those pieces. A couple more I'll mention, and then I'll pause for a moment. Another kind of journaling practice is a review at the end of the day. So what went well today? What didn't quite go as planned? And what am I learning? What are my takeaways from the day? Can be a really powerful practice. We do this actually sometimes at the dinner table with the kids, as a way of not only helping them assess the day and kind of take the learnings from the day, but also as a way of learning that, like, each and every day there are things that are going to go well and there are things that are going to not go so well, and it's par for the course, and it's all good, right? It's a, kind of like a beautiful resilience skill to learn for kids and for adults. One of my regular journaling practices is dream work. For those of you that registered for advanced, you know, we'll be spending a full intensive on dream work and symbols. And this has been one of my life savers. I really feel that being able to engage deeply with your dreams in layered ways as a tool for self-discovery and healing, just massive, massive, massive. And then I'll just give one other example. For now, if your client has a tarot practice, right, and this is another thing that I use pretty consistently, is not just pulling the card, right? Pulling card is great homework and whatever, but journaling on the card, writing what they see in it, what they're taking away from it, channeling the archetype, or, you know, like putting themselves in one of the characters of the card or one of the objects of the card, and journaling from that voice can be a very powerful practice. Okay, I want to pause here for a moment because I've been talking a lot. The rest of this call, I'm not going to be talking too much. This is where we're going to kind of get really interactive, and we're going to look at specific instances. So I'm going to give you some case study examples of what's happens in a session, and I'm going to ask you what kind of journaling homework you would give for that. That's going to be more on the category B of specific instances, as opposed to like an ongoing journaling practice. But for now, let's take a pause. I'd love to hear either other journaling practices that either you use or have your clients use that you want to share for us to be thinking about, and also just what you're taking so far from this conversation or any questions that you have so far. So star two, other journaling practices or questions or anything that you're taking. Anne.
So I actually have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So background is growing up, anytime I wanted to keep a journal, it was never honored as private. So I had a huge personal block against ongoing journaling exercises. And I'm noticing that especially the most recent client that I've had a session with said right up front, I know you're going to tell me I need to do journaling as homework and I'm not going to do it. And I said, that's fine. Like, I don't need you to do daily journaling. I don't do daily journaling either. But I may ask you to do written homework from time to time. Is that okay? And she said, yeah, that's fine. I'm just not going to keep a diary. I recognize the deep value of consistent journaling practices. It's something that I would like to feel more comfortable with, encouraging clients to do. It's something I would like to break through for myself. But, I mean, I'm 47 and I've been stymied my whole life, even when I've felt like I might have privacy and respect of being able to actually, like, let go on the page. If you had a client who said, yeah, I really want to do this, but I'm really blocked, like, obviously there's some special instance homework around that, but are there other, like, best practices just for dealing with, like, the general concerns that people have?
It's a great question. So it's something that you would probably want to look at in the session itself, voice to voice, as opposed to giving it for homework. If they're already resistant to writing, they won't do the writing on the resistance to the writing. So use all the tools that we've looked at here, right? So first would be to uncover what the resistance or the fear or the limiting belief is.
Okay.
So, let's just do this together quick. So
sure.
For you, what would be your fear or your limiting belief?
That somebody is going to read what I wrote, somebody who shouldn't be reading what I wrote, and that if I am really just being honest about what's there in an unedited fashion, you know, to clear stuff, that it's going to hurt someone else or they're going to judge me or become in conflict because of something that I wrote that was private and personal process and not ever meant to be said out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. And I think that that's common for people. Again, I'm giving this a little bit short shrift. You'd probably want to spend more time, but I'm going to just, like, quickly go through this right now. I get that it's possible that someone in your life now as a 47-year-old may read what you've got, but chances are not so much as when you were little. How old is the part of you that holds this fear?
Like 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. And reinforced by my ex-husband, but yes.
Right. That's what I said, I guess at most, right? Every now and again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And for the 8-year-old inside of you that believes this, how is this related to her survival?
Yeah, so both at home with mom, having to be mom's, perfect image of the perfect good girl, and it doesn't fit. But also the school assignment when, you know, I wrote what was true, and then I was told, you can't write that.
Yeah.
You know, so having my personal truth either invalidated invalidated, but just in different ways. And then feeling like I, like my, not just my personal truth, but that my self, my identity, my authentic self was not okay.
Yeah. So for
like if reason, I could have it, it would have to be secret. I could never show it. It could never be discoverable by anybody else.
Yeah. So tell me if I'm getting this right, but for your 8-year-old, being your true self meant not being good, meant not being able to get the resources that you need from adults to keep on going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not being accepted meant risking not being supported or maybe not being loved.
Yes, not being loved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What does your 47-year-old self know about this that your 8-year-old self doesn't know?
That my mom was never going to know how to accept me fully for who I am, but that we would later come to some agreement that we could still love each other even if we didn't understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that I would learn later in life how to find people who would accept me for who I am.
Yes.
And who wouldn't have to be taught how to love me despite the things that they don't understand.
Yes. I can
and it would take
that
longer than I wanted. But
yeah.
I would get there. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Like hang in there, kiddo.
Yeah. Yes. I can feel that you feel the truth in what you're saying.
Yeah.
And tell me if I'm getting this right. Because of everything that you just said, is it also true that the people that you live with right now that are in your home, they're likely not going to look at anything you've written, but if they did, you would work it out?
Yes.
Yeah. So one last little piece here, which is not little, but toss another piece, which is that this is an opportunity based on everything that I'm hearing, Anne, for you to reveal more of your true identity to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me what you're taking from this little conversation.
Well, one, that I can trust that I am now surrounding myself with people who are more trustworthy and responsible for their own actions and thoughtful. Yeah. But also that there are places where I have, internally run screaming from journaling practices, not just because I was afraid somebody else might see it and think badly of me, because I was afraid that I would see something that I wouldn't want to see about myself.
Yes.
Because I was so taught that surely those hidden things, those shadow pieces,
right,
you know, were just so dangerous.
Yes.
Instead of a gift to help me discern a deeper truth and become a more fully integrated whole person.
Yes. 100%. Beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm going to time mark my notes so I can go back and listen to what I just said, because I have no idea what I just said.
Yes, please do. But 100%, I mean, really, I think the biggest piece is that you're seeing that this is about you fully accepting all of who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm glad you got that piece for yourself. I'm glad you asked the question for yourself and for all of us to see. And hopefully what you guys all saw just from the work that Anne and I did is that you just want to, you know, any resistance, whether it's to journaling or action steps or whatever it is, it can always be used. The resistance, right, we've learned this in past classes, can always be used to go deeper, number one. And number two, you want to, like, if it, in the case of journaling, really anything, but let's just say in the case of journaling homework, you want to use the exploration. You always want to tie it back to the main reason why you gave the journaling homework in the first place. So in what Anne and I just did, even though I didn't give her journaling homework, but it was clear from how she started talking about it that she's seeing the homework as a way of self-exploration, and even though she didn't say the words, of like being intimate with herself. So that's why I tied it back around to that in the end. But let's say you have a session with a client and you're looking at the issue of pleasure, right? And then there's resistance. You go through, you look at the resistance, but then tie it back at the end to the pleasure piece or whatever it is, the gratitude piece, whatever it is. It will it will help the client not only be more open to doing the journaling homework, but it'll really integrate just everything that you've spoken about in the session, and help the client go deeper. Good. Any cues on the work that Anne and I just did, or any other questions or anything else that you want to share before we go into our practicum? Christine.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So an insight from what you and Anne just did, and then some shares and a question. And thank you very much, Anne, for sharing. That was beautiful. Yeah, journaling as an act of self-love. Like,
yeah,
that was a huge awareness. I've used journaling all the time. I love journaling, and I see it as healing, but I've never really seen it sort of as this act of self-love.
And self-acceptance. Yeah.
Yeah, that was huge. So thank you for that. Shares. I found that in a priestess training I was doing, we were given the task of journaling only in a sketchbook. So paper that had no lines,
mm-hmm.
as a way of allowing us to, me to be more free with the journaling. And if, you know, you felt you needed to do a drawing or something, there wasn't a, you know, oh my God, I'm not in
right.
line.
Right.
And I found that was really helpful. And I find that works with some of my clients.
Thank you for offering that. That's great.
Oh, you're welcome. If I've also had clients who were, they were like, I don't know what to journal on. I'd love to hear your input on this. I've suggested just when they wake up in the morning or when they go to sit down to journal, just sort of, you know, looking across the room, what's the first thing they see? And then just start the journaling by journaling about that. What are they seeing? What's drawing their attention to it? And letting that open up the channels to going deeper into their feelings. Or I'll suggest they listen to a piece of music and then journal on what's coming up around that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So for this first category that we're talking about, that's more just the journaling practice, not necessarily either specifics, yes to everything you just suggested, or like I said earlier, sometimes I just start with here I am or I am, or just any kind of compelling prompt, like today I notice that, and any of the things that you offered, any and all of those can be great activators to just know what to get somebody going. Yeah.
Perfect. And my question was, again, sort of around that idea of you know, someone who was resistant. So, yes, there's the coaching on the resistance. But what would be your feeling on having somebody maybe start, again, sort of that process by just sort of doing, like, verbal journaling where they just sort of put the recorder on their phone, and they started the process by just speaking, and then as they got more comfortable with that, they moved to the actual writing.
I think it's a great idea for particular clients, right? So always coach the what based on the who. I think that there's some people that would work really well for, and then I think there are other people that would go deeper into resistance at that suggestion, and it really depends on the person. Yeah, but I think for some people it would be great.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to take one more share, and then we've still got a lot of work to do today, so we'll move on after that. I think this is Siobhan.
Hi, Joanna. Yeah. I actually just got my question answered when Christina was talking, because I have a client who voice works better for.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wasn't sure. I wanted to check with you and just see what you thought of that, you know, they just can't seem to sit down and write. And so I suggested voice recording it and going over that.
Yeah. No, it's a great – for some people, it really helps. And I'll just extend this out to, like, the business, like, marketing metaphor. Sometimes I have clients who want to write a newsletter article or, you know, whatever it is that they want to write, but they have the same thing, like they just don't love writing. What I'll oftentimes suggest is, like, you know, either just make a video, you know, have a video newsletter instead of a writing newsletter, or speak out what you want to say into a recording and then transcribe it, right? So what we're talking about here can have lots of different applications for people.
Right.
Yeah,
okay, great. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. So we spoke about this category A of journaling homework, which is more along the line of your journaling practice done consistently. But now let's talk about journaling homework that you would give, not, you know, this, it's consistent, but that's specifically related to what came up in the session. There are obviously so many different, you know, ways that you could do this. As many as there are coaching sessions and topics. But what I thought would be fun, and we do this every year, and it's a great, as I said earlier, it's a great way to integrate everything that we've learned, is I'm going to share some case studies of sessions with you, and then let's brainstorm on what homework you would give that client. And as we do this, I want you to think about all the skills that we've learned in Sacred Depths: listening, creating awareness, questioning skills, strategizing skills, visioning skills, befriend your fear skills, rewiring negative thought patterns, myth of perfection, self-sabotage, you know, on and on. Like, but this is a moment to kind of bring anything into play that wants to come into play. So I will share, we'll see how many of these we get through. I'll share a case study, and then we'll hear what you come up with, and then I'll also share with you some of my suggestions for that case study as well. So here's the first one. Let's say you're working with a client, and in general in your work together, and in particular in the session that you're coming to completion with, you're working on weight loss. And together, you and this client have uncovered that part of this client's trouble with weight loss, part of it, is related to self-love. You've uncovered together in the session that her mother didn't model self-love very well, right? So she didn't get great modeling from her mother on loving herself. And also in the session, you've uncovered, or what's come up, is that her partner has said some not so nice things about her thighs and her butt. Not her current partner, but her first partner that she had as a teenager or in her 20s. And because of all of this, and this has come through in the session as you've coached her, what you've seen together is that some limiting beliefs have gotten embedded for her. One of the beliefs is, I am ugly. And then another belief that she's got is, there's not enough time or energy to cultivate self-love. The other thing that came through in the session is that there are some new beliefs that this client would like to lean into. One of the new beliefs is, I'm beautiful because my spirit shines through. So that's one new belief she's identified. And then another new belief she's identified is, there's more than enough time for me to love myself. And the other thing that you uncovered in the session is that her sweet tooth, she's got a pretty powerful sweet tooth, and that actually her sweet tooth has been her way. She's used it as her way of loving herself. The sugar makes her feel loved and comforted. So that's what happened in the session. That's, and in your work with this client on weight loss, and you've come to the end of that session, and you'd like to give her some journaling homework to help her, you know, as I said earlier, some of the purposes are to go deeper on certain topics, to reinforce and practice new learnings, to go deeper on things you didn't have time for in the session, but that are timely, to look at personal pieces that a client might want to explore first in private, or to go deeper with pieces that weren't fully yet baked. They need more processing because the revelatory process is a process. It doesn't just happen in 45 minutes. So take a moment and write down for yourself, get as creative as you want, what's some homework you would, you know, along the lines we've been talking about, what's some homework you would give this client? What are some questions, maybe journaling questions you would ask this client, or things you might ask them to draw, or dialogues you might help have them create internally, or lists? Or whatever it is, some homework you would give this client in the way that we're describing journaling today. I'll give you a moment to think through some of that. And all right, let's hear some of what you're coming up with. Star two, what are some journaling assignments you would give this client? Star two. Don't be shy. Even if you're not sure, put it forward. We'll take a look at it together. Christine.
I would ask her to journal or have a dialogue with her little self, her inner child, to access or kind of get her inner child's take on how her upbringing has affected her. What is it that her little self needs? What's the need that is being filled with the sweet tooth, for instance? And how, you know, and depending on what comes up, then moving from that into how can she provide what her inner child needs without the sweets. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. So because we know, you know, in the session, what part of what came up is that she didn't get great modeling on self-love from her mother, and we know that the self-love is related to the weight loss, looking at her younger self, who received that modeling, makes perfect sense. And like you said, Christine, you know, asking that one what she needs is a great thing to do. And what I'll just add to that is, a lot of times when we are working with parts of ourselves, whether it's a younger part of ourselves, like what you're suggesting now, or, you know, just a part of ourselves, one of the important things that we can do, and for those of us that are moving on to advanced steps, we're going to look a lot at these different types of pieces, but one of the things that we can do is support that part of ourselves to become unburdened. Mm-hmm. That part of us is burdened with something. And so in this journaling exercise, because the more they become unburdened, then the less they have to kind of act out or take responsibility for things that they don't need to, right? So in this exercise, before getting to asking the young one, what do you need, I'd first just allow the young one to unburden, right? Like, how does it feel? Mm-hmm. What have you seen? What are you scared of, right? So they can just really be in that experience and unburden it a bit. But I love this journaling homework. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's hear some more. Stephanie. Oh, whoops. I think I got you. Stephanie, I'll get you next. Anne.
Okay. Almost similar to befriend your fear, like befriend your fat. I kind of keyed into what you said about how her first partner said some not nice things about her thighs and her butt. So relating to whatever flesh she relates to as excess, dialoguing with that as though it were her suit of armor. What is it that you protect me from?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you keep hidden from others? How, you know, that dialogue of, you know, how do you help me, and, you know, what do I need you to stop doing or do differently? There's a perspective I've worked with weight loss clients that, you know, if you constantly poke at something, right, it develops a callus, right? It hardens off or it will even grow, you know, a nodule if something keeps getting injured. And so, if there's a place that keeps getting attacked either by other people or by self-perception, you know, where is it that that's trying to grow bigger to protect itself, instead of being able to embrace it so that it can melt into the shape that it really needs to be.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that for so many reasons. One thing I'll say, and you can tell me if you agree with this because you might not, is before getting to that homework, there might need to be just some creating awareness and connecting the dots on some of the things you just shared, and also to make sure that the fat is being used as armor, because that may not be true for everybody. So
yes.
Just connecting some of those dots a little bit more. But yes, I love all that you just shared. That makes sense?
Yep.
Awesome. good. Okay, great. Here's some more. Stephanie.
Hi. Yeah, I've got three questions that I came up with. I feel like the spirit piece would want some more exploration. So my first question for them to journal on would be, what are some of the ways that your spirit shines through and makes you beautiful?
Mm. Yeah, because the new belief, let me just reread the belief, because I know you're taking it straight from that, which is what you should be doing, which is, I'm beautiful because my spirit shines through. So because that idea, you wouldn't just want to bring that up out of like left field, but because that was part of that new belief, yes, 100% to go deeper with that.
Yeah.
So share the question one more time.
What are some of the ways that your spirit shines through and makes you beautiful?
Mm.
So they can like measure it in like tangible things instead of just being a nice idea. And then related to that, I thought it could be useful for them to actually dialogue with their spirit and ask them what it is they want them to know about their beauty.
Mm, nice.
And then the last one I came up with was just the prompt for them to finish, maybe as like a daily practice of, I can love myself by, so they can come up with other ways to show themselves love besides sugar.
Yes. Yeah. Great. I love all of those. And a great example of like deep journaling that can be list making too. It doesn't have to be, you know, for people that don't love like the writing and the writing and the writing, sometimes list making can be quite deep.
Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome.
Thank you. Who else? Don't be shy. This is, you know, test your theories out, even if you're not sure. I want to hear from more of you. What are some other things that you might ask? April.
Hi there. Right off the bat, I wondered, my first question was, where do you seek joy?
Mm.
And then how would you describe beautiful? What does beauty mean to you?
Mm. I love both of those. The second one, I think you could ask without doing a little bit more work first in the session. The one about joy, similar to what I was sharing with Anne before, you might just want to create some connections first, since that didn't come up, that concept hasn't yet come up in the session.
Right. So within the conversation continuing, I'm feeling a bit of, where's your clarity around, what is your clarity around what brings you joy, happiness, what fills you up, what fills your soul, as opposed to whatever food is going into your mouth?
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, you just don't blurt out, but that's in a nutshell.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm very concise today.
No, and that's great. Right? And so we just want to like connect the dots to create awareness. Good. Love those. Who else? Don't be shy. Want to hear your voice. What else might you ask?
hear from one more person at least. Oh, there we go. Who's this? I think this might be Swati.
Hi, yes, Joanna, it's Swati. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I was looking at the piece about the sweet tooth,
mm-hmm.
and that it has been a way of, you know, loving herself. And I don't know, not really, this is kind of new for me, so I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
How would it be for her to dialogue with the part of her that wants to eat the sweet thing, like dialoguing before and after? And I'm not sure it's practical because, you know, if the sweet thing is calling to her, she's not going to be in a space to dialogue.
Absolutely. I love that idea. I think that was on my list of things to share. So to dialogue with the sweet tooth, right, or the energy of the sweet tooth. And I love this piece that you're putting in here, like, when you have that impulse to have the sweet thing, it's not that you can't have it, right? But take a minute, dialogue with your sweet tooth first, see what it has to say, then make a decision from that place of awareness, whether you do or don't, right? But maybe if you do eat the sweet, then journal afterwards and see, so that you're starting to create this more aware relationship with this part of you that you don't maybe always get along with so well, because it's not working. It has control over you instead of you having control over it. So start to create this relationship so that you can harness it more. I love that.
Right. Right. And then see, after eating the sweet thing, what was the thing it gained? Like, what did it gain?
Yeah. So to really use it, like, you're going to eat the sweet stuff, great, but let's use this as learning to understand more, to track it more, to be more aware of it. That's when some things can start to change.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's great. Siobhan.
Oh, okay, good. So I tend to complicate things at first. But I was thinking I would want to, like, create around the I'm beautiful because my spirit shines through some kind of ritual. And I would want to, like, tease out what might be something really kind of deep. And
so I love that. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, because we're going to get to ritual as a tool in two classes. I love that you're going in this direction. Think on it. We won't take up today's class, but I want to give that for you for homework, Siobhan. What would be a ritual that you would create for this client? It might involve some journaling too, and let's hear what it is. You can even post it in the Facebook group.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
But I love that. Self-love makes for great rituals, 100%. So that's a great
idea. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Do you want me to hit on the other thing that we talked
about?
Yeah,
go for it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this one came up, and this is I'm a little self-conscious about bringing it up, but I experienced this recently. So the whole thing about time, this is such a huge breakthrough for me. So almost this sense that, and again, this would take a lot of dot connecting and making sure that it wasn't my filter, but this whole relationship with time and almost flipping the relationship with the last boyfriend or whatever it was, partner, on its head, and creating this relation with time as kind of like the entity that gives her the reinforcement of her beauty. And I know that sounds really complicated. I know I could simplify that. But it's kind of like French. Like, I came up with recently, you know, I'm going to like date time. I'm going to like, it's going to be like a really good date.
Yeah.
And so it becomes this energy that feeds me something that, for instance, I didn't get in relationships. Does that make sense? Okay.
Absolutely. So that relates, first of all, to what we were talking about on our last call, or the call before that, how time and self-love are very much related.
Mm-hmm.
And because this particular client had this limiting belief of there's not enough time or energy to cultivate self-love, and they want to lean more into there's more than enough time for me to love myself, to actually create dates with time, you know, I think there's still some details in there to work out and not make it overcomplicated, but I do think there's some nice kernels of something that could be very profound in there, for sure. You know, and at the most simple, just to have time, journal from the voice of time messages to the client about why they can use it for self-love.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
And then the last one real quick was just writing a letter to the sweet tooth and the sweet stuff.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. Swati mentioned writing from that part to the client, and you're mentioning writing from the client to that part and having a dialogue back and forth between the two, and can also be very helpful. Good.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right, let me list a couple of other, let me see, you guys may have hit all my stuff, but some of the other things that I might do. You guys named a lot of them. But one is, journal, to spend some time journaling on the old beliefs, right? So take that belief, for example, of I'm ugly, and just journal on that. Do some free form writing on that. Get into the details, the nitty gritties. Of course, it's not comfortable to journal on why, you know, on I am ugly, if that's a deep piece. But this is like a mini little shadow work, actually being able to confront in an intentional container the feeling, right, or the energy that is not so, you know, not working out so well for us is a way to start harnessing it better, because the truth is that part of us is actually engaging with us all the time. It's just not in a conscious way where we have control over it, right? So this is a way for us to start to get control over it. So to journal on the old beliefs, or to journal on the new beliefs. Now, if you're going to do that, remember back to our rewiring training, not just once. That's not a once and done. Like every day for a week, journal on I'm beautiful because my spirit shines through. When I say journal on that, I mean just free form writing based on that prompt or corroborating that, you know, like supporting that statement. The repetition over time helps create those new neural pathways. Another homework assignment from this particular session, and again, we're never going to give all of these, right? Just one or two. But another one might be maybe this client needs to write a letter to her mother. That will never be sent to her mother, right? Her mother may not even still be alive, right? But maybe there needs to be a sacred expression of this client's anger or forgiveness or love or, you know, whatever it is, but an unburdening in that way. Or maybe the letter needs to be to that first partner, standing up for herself, right? Setting boundaries, sharing what her true worth is. Again, not to be sent, but for the purpose of journaling. Possibly a letter from the ideal mother or the universal mother or the universal father or God, right? But back to our self-love call, you know, sometimes God or spirit or whatever it is can be, you connecting in, channeling from that place can be a beautiful corrective and healing on self-love issues. I had letter with time. Siobhan
mention that dialogue with sweets. Oh, here's another one. What if she drew her sweet tooth? So it could be an actual representation of a tooth, or it could be whatever, not representational at all, abstract. But what if she drew a picture of her sweet tooth and then labeled the picture as a diagram? Maybe there's different parts to the sweet tooth, like the part that takes so much pleasure when it eats the sweet thing, the part that like has a hunger and a unending desire, right? So to kind of label that and then journal on the different parts. I think somebody said, what are the new ways that you can love yourself instead of with sweets, making a list of that. Here's a question. And this could be a journaling question. You and all of these, by the way, you know, in terms of if it's just a question to journal on, it can also be a breakthrough question that happens in the session, right? What would a loving, aligned relationship with sweets look like for you? And then another question, and again, there's so many, right? But I'll share one more for journaling on. What would you like for your children, whether this person has children or not, doesn't matter, if you were to have children or if they do, what would you like for your children to learn from you about self-love? What would you like your children, whether you have children or not, to learn about self-love from you? The reason why this could be a very powerful question in this scenario is because of the modeling from her mother, right? So sometimes a healing and a corrective is to envision how do I want to model around this topic for future generations. Okay. I'm looking at the time, and what I'm thinking is we probably don't have time for another case study. But I'll post them in the Facebook group. I've got another two. And that's one piece of homework for you. I'd love for you to read through the case studies and to come up. You know, you can share on the post some journaling homework that you might give based on it. And then the second piece of homework is if you've got a coaching partner, give journaling homework on this next session. Let's do your session, right? But then take some time to give some journaling homework. And in your feedback time, speak through what are some other journaling homework and questions that you might have given. And then if you're working with clients, bring this top of mind for this week. How can you up your game when it comes to homework and journaling to really help them go deeper and create the results that they want, inner and outer? All right, take a moment. What's your takeaway from our call today? What are you seeing? What are you learning? And we've got a minute or two. I'd love to hear any questions or any takeaways before we wrap for today. Star two. Anyone want to share a takeaway or any cues that you've got? Nope. All right. I hope you guys have a great week. I'll post these case studies. Have fun with them. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.